Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace.
God will love you regardless of what you do. Your badness will not change your new born-again nature any more than your goodness would change your sinful nature.
And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Tuesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today I'm into my fourth week of teaching verse by verse through the book of Romans, and we're now in Romans chapter 6. And I tell you, I've been saying some awesome things, things that just revolutionized my life. This was so contrary to what I was brought up in. I was brought up in mainline Christian evangelical tradition. And even though there was a lot of good things they told me about the Lord, I got born again through that. I tell you, the way that they made me sin conscious and tied to this old sin nature, believing that I am at my core a sinner, it's been very damaging. Now, that's true before you get born again. But when you get born again, you become a brand new creature. 2 Corinthians 5:17, old things pass away and all things become new. I was taught that I was a sinner and I needed salvation, and that part was true, and it led me to getting born again at the age of 8, and I praise God for that. But then I continued to live under that sin consciousness, thinking that I still was this sinner by nature, and it just kept me from experiencing the relationship with the Lord that He desired for me to have. And so, the things that is shared right here in Romans chapter 6 is diametrically 180 degrees opposed to all of those things. And I know that many of you watching this program are going to think it's heresy, because what I'm saying is not what you've been taught, but I'm reading it straight out of Scripture. I challenge you to let the Word of God speak to you. So Romans chapter 6, I started on this yesterday. He says, "Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?" And of course, the answer to that is no. God forbid. No, you don't do that. Why not? Number one is because you are dead to sin. Most of Christianity teaches that, no, I am very alive to sin. As a matter of fact, sin is dominating me and controlling me. That's true before you get born again. But when you get born again, that sin nature that was inside of you is crucified. That's exactly what it says here in Romans chapter 6, verse 4, "Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection, knowing this." In other words, all of these things that He just talked about, being dead to sin, buried with Christ, and all of these things, those are facts that are already accomplished, but that we should walk in newness of life. That's not something that is an accomplished fact. That's something that has to be appropriated and walked out. In other words, living a life free from sin and free from defeat and bondage is available, but it's not automatic. You have to believe in order to receive this. And it says you have to know this in verse 6, that our old man is crucified with Him. It didn't say our old man is being crucified. You'll hear people say that yes, it's something that happened, but we have to appropriate, we have to die to ourselves daily. Man, I was raised with this. Did you know, before I got really turned on to the Lord, I've been in church my whole life. I got born again when I was 8 years old, and man, I just had a lot of religious doctrine instilled in me. And I know some of you are going to think this is weird, but this just the way it is. It's my testimony. It is weird. I admit, but religion will mess you up. And you know what I used to do? I used to literally envision myself dying to myself daily. And I would see myself like strapped into an electric chair. That was the method of execution at that time. And I would literally see myself. I'd strap myself in and I'd start naming my sins: lust, anger, unforgiveness, I failed to read my Bible. I failed to witness to this person. And I would just go through and name all of my sins and think that by doing this, I was dying to myself. What I was actually doing was resurrecting myself and focusing on all of my ungodliness. And I actually went through a little thing. I heard a sermon where a guy talked about dying to yourself and seeing yourself strapped into an electric chair and name all of your sins. And I was naming all of my sins. And instead of breaking the dominion of sin, it actually made me inferior to sin. I was constantly reminding myself what a terrible person I was, and it didn't make me free of anything. This says that you have been crucified with Him. It's done. It's not something that needs to be done. It is done, finished, over. It's a done deal. You are crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that we henceforth should not serve sin. There's three things here. You have to recognize you are crucified with Him. That old sin nature is dead. It doesn't exist anymore. Your sin nature is gone. And some people think, oh, but I still sin. I still have this lust. I still long for things that I know I shouldn't have. What's going on? It says that the old man is crucified that the body of sin might be destroyed. Did you know when a person dies physically, they leave behind a body? And for a period of time, that body can even look like it's alive. I actually had a friend of mine who worked at Parkland Hospital in Dallas, Texas, and he did autopsies on bodies. And one time he was on the 13th floor doing an autopsy on a body. He pulled this body out of a cooler on a slab, and he put this body, I don't know if he put it on the slab or if the slab that they brought out, but anyway, here was this body in front of him. He turned around to get some of his tools to do an autopsy on this corpse. And when he turned back around, this corpse sat up. I mean, sat straight up, and his arms were dangling, and his eyes were open, and his mouth was open. And it scared this friend of mine so bad, he said he nearly jumped out of the 13th story window at Parkland Hospital in Dallas. He went running down the hall and he got somebody and they came back. They checked this guy out and they just pushed him back down. And they said for a period of time, there will still be some electrical impulses in a body even after the person is dead, and it could make a muscle contract, and that made this person sit up. But he was dead. His body was still there, and it may have even looked like it was alive, but the truth was that the spirit part that gave life to that body was gone. James chapter 2, verse 26 says, as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Once the spirit leaves a body, that body is dead, but it doesn't decay immediately. It could look like it's still a normal person for a day or two, and there could even be these muscles that twitch and some things, but they're dead. So anyway, my point is, your old man is dead, but it left behind a body. What is the body to your old man? It's the unrenewed mind. It's the wrong values, the wrong thinking, all of the things that that sinful nature taught you to do. You still have the same mind and you still have the same body, even though the spirit man is completely changed in you. And so it's the mind that you are fighting against. This is the reason that Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Your old nature is gone. There is no longer a nature that compels you to live in sin if you have made Jesus your Lord. When you got born again, you were baptized into Christ. Your old man was crucified, but there is a body, a way of thinking that was left behind. Proverbs 23:7 says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Until you change your thinking, you're going to continue to act like you did before you got born again. It's similar to a computer. A computer has an operating system. It has this hardware, but then it has a software that makes that hardware work. And the software is what determines how that computer is going to function. Your way of thinking is your software. You've got new hardware. You no longer have that old nature inside of you that's compelling you to sin. But until you change your software, your operating system, you're going to wind up doing a lot of the same things. You know, when I was a little kid, I don't know if every little kid had this problem, but I remember, I was old enough to remember that my dad sat me down and he says, "I'm going to teach you how to button your shirt," because I just always got it wrong. I didn't put the right button in the right hole and my shirts were always askew, and I didn't care. I was just, you know, putting on the minimum amount of clothes so I could go out and play and do the things I wanted to do. But anyway, he sat me down and he says, "I'm teaching you how to button your shirt." And I remember it was a strain at first, and I had to focus on it. The reason I'm bringing this up is to say I know it wasn't just my nature to button my shirt, because in the beginning, I did it wrong nearly every single time. But my dad made me learn how to button my shirt. And guess what? I put this shirt on. Nobody else dressed me. I put it on and I buttoned it, and I don't even remember buttoning it. It just seems like it came automatically. It seems like it's just nature to button my shirt, but it's not. I can remember that I had to acquire this. I was programmed. I had to program myself to do this. So what I'm saying is, some people think, "Well, no, I just have this nature that lust for dope or alcohol or sexual immorality, pornography or something, and it's just driving me. I can't help it." If you've been truly born again, that nature that drove you to do those things is gone. You are not by nature anymore that person. But that old man left behind a body. It left behind an unrenewed mind. It programmed you how to think and how to do things a certain way. And if you don't know this and understand it, you will just take this tendency towards sin and think, "Well, after all, it's just who I am." You know, I've actually been to Alcoholic Anonymous meetings with people that I was ministering to and trying to help them get delivered of alcoholism. So I went to an Alcoholic Anonymous meeting. And please don't write me about this. Every time I've ever mentioned this, I have somebody write me and criticize me over it. And it's not going to change anything I'm doing, and you're wasting your time. And I am not against Alcoholics Anonymous. They help people to a degree, and we're fighting the same battle, so I'm not against it. But here's one bone of contention I have with AA and NA and programs like that. And that is that at the meetings I went to, a person would stand up and say their name. They'd say, "Hello, I'm Andrew Womack. I've been an alcoholic for 20 years. I've been sober for 10 years. But they would still identify as an alcoholic. And they would say, "I'm just one drink away. I am still an alcoholic. I'm not acting on it right now. But if I take one drink, I'll be right back where I was." And they still identify as an alcoholic. They may be sober, but that is their nature, is what they're saying. Now see, even though I can understand in the natural how that helps some people, that is not the scriptural approach. Jesus didn't just sit there and forgive our sins, but we're still by nature a sinful, evil person. When you got born again, your old man was crucified. There is no longer anything driving you to sin except that body that was left behind, the unrenewed mind. And once you understand this, it changes everything, because a person could get up and say, "You know, I'm Andrew Womack and I was an alcoholic for 10 years, but I got changed by the blood of Jesus and I'm a new creature, and my born again person, it doesn't have any propensity, no desire for this stuff whatsoever." And you find your new identity in Christ, and you not only get free from the booze, but you get free from all of the condemnation, the guilt, the mentality that goes with it. I was on television with a woman. I won't mention her name, but she was famous. She was a movie star, and she had been an alcoholic, and she went through a Raleigh treatment center, and she had been sober for like 20 years. And she was on this television program testifying about being sober. She may not have been drinking booze any longer, but did you know she had to have a Diet Dr. Pepper in her hand at all times? with ice in it in a glass. And I mean, I was in the green room with this woman and she could not make it. She had to have that. She still had an alcoholic mentality. She just had substituted Diet Dr. Pepper for alcohol. She wasn't drunk anymore, and there was some benefit that was coming out of that, but she still had the alcoholic mentality. She was still an addictive person. She wasn't really free. She was free from alcohol, but she wasn't free. Jesus doesn't just forgive us and then we live the rest of our life in bondage, just white-knuckling it, holding on, and, oh, Jesus, help me not to sin. Help me not to do this. No, when you got born again, He took that sinful nature out of you and put within you His holy nature. Your old man is dead, but it left behind wrong thinking. And now if you understand, I'm not forced to do this anymore. The only reason I'm doing this is because I don't know the truth. See, again, let me go back and just read these verses. It says in verse 5, "For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection." Being planted in His death is a done deal, but being in the likeness of His resurrection is dependent upon, verse 6, knowing this. If you don't know this, if you think you still are an old sinner saved by grace, I was an old sinner, but I got saved by grace, and now I am the righteousness of God. I've been joined unto Jesus, and what's true of Him is true of me. As Jesus is, so am I in this world, 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. If I know this, if I know that that old man is gone and that all I'm dealing with is just an unrenewed mind, then as quickly as I can change my thinking, change my identity, and start finding out who I am in Christ, I can be free of all of the bondages that that old sinful nature put me in. But if I don't know this, it won't happen. So again, verse 5, "If we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed." That's that unrenewed mind I was talking about. And then the results of that is that henceforth we should not serve sin. We should not be living in sin any longer. But living in sin is dependent upon you getting rid of that body of sin, the unrenewed mind, the wrong attitudes and thoughts that you were programmed with before you got born again. And that comes as a result of knowing that you are now dead to that old man. You were crucified with Christ and you're free. So He says, why should we not live in sin? Should we live in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. Why not? Because our old man is dead. It is crucified. You are not any longer. If you've been born again, this is a big if. And I know I'm preaching to millions of people, and there are probably millions of people that are watching this program that never have truly committed your life to the Lord. If you haven't done that, then you aren't changed in your heart, and you do have a sinful nature. And regardless of how much you try and do what's right, your good will never overwhelm the bad that has already been done. You need to be born again. So if you're listening to me and you are not changed on a heart level, if you've never been born again, please call the number that you see on your screen. Let someone pray with you and you can be born again and changed. But then when you do commit your life to the Lord, you are a changed person. But it's in your spirit that you're changed. You still got the same old head that you had before. When you get born again, your mind doesn't pass away and all things become new. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." That isn't talking about your physical body. If you were a man before you got saved, you're going to be a man after you get saved. If you were a woman, you'll be a woman. It's not talking about your mind either, because when you get born again, you still have your thoughts, not my thoughts. You still remember your childhood. You remember what happened to you. Your mind isn't instantly changed. It can be changed. It can be renewed, Romans chapter 12, verse 2, but it doesn't happen automatically. Your body and your soul, your mind, are not instantly changed. But in your spirit, You become a brand new person, and that old sinful nature is taken out of you, and you have on the inside of you now the same nature that indwelt Jesus. That's what it says in Galatians chapter 4, that He sent forth into our hearts the Spirit of His Son, crying, Abba, Father. And somebody's thinking, oh man, I don't have the Spirit of Jesus living on the inside of me. Romans chapter 8, verse 9 says, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. If you don't have Jesus' Spirit and nature living on the inside of you, then you haven't been born again. If you have been born again, then you do have this nature of Jesus living on the inside of you. You may not feel it, you may not see it because it's in the spiritual realm, but this is like a spiritual mirror and you hold it up. This will tell you who you are and what you have in the Spirit. You can't see the Spirit, but you can see this Word. And Jesus said in John chapter 6, verse 63, the words that I speak unto you, they are Spirit and they are life. Through looking in this Word, you can see things like this. I'm dead to sin. I'm crucified with Christ. My old body, this unrenewed mind, has to now be destroyed, systematically taken apart, and get rid of this old thinking. And then the results of that will be that I will not serve sin. Look at the next verse. It says in verse 7, for he that is dead is freed from sin. Notice the terminology, freed, F-R-E-E-D, not free. There's a difference between being freed and being free. You know, during the American Civil War, President Lincoln issued the Emancipation Proclamation and freed all of the slaves. But because of the communication back in those days, there are actual accounts of slaves that were not told that they were free. Their plantation owners kept the truth back from them, and they still functioned in slavery even after they had been freed. They were freed, but they weren't free. Likewise, every one of us have been freed from that old nature. If you have made Jesus your Lord, and if you are truly born again, you have been freed, but that doesn't mean you're free. You have to know what happened. You have to take a step of faith. I used to minister in the jails in Quanah, Texas. And I actually used this example one time, and I was preaching from this verse, and I told a man, if I had the ability to open your cell door and free you, I freed you, you would have to believe it. You would have to get up off that bunk. You'd have to put your shoes on. You'd have to have enough faith that you could walk out without being arrested or shot, and you would have to take some steps of faith in order to be free. But I could free you without you being free. Did you know that there are millions of Christians that have been freed, but they aren't free? They have been crucified with Christ. This old man is gone, and they've been freed, and they don't know this. You have to know this in order to walk in that freedom. This is powerful. And I've got so much more I'd love to share, but I'm out of time today. Let me mention again that I've got this brand new book, and this is a commentary on the book of Romans. And I've got my commentary from my living commentary in here. I've got notes from my teaching as well as the actual text of the book of Romans. Listen to our announcer and then please call or write today.
Andrew is pleased to announce the release of his brand new hardback book titled Romans, Paul's Masterpiece on Grace. This brand new book includes all of Andrew's personal study notes and commentary on the book of Romans, compiled from Andrew's Life for Today Study Bible and Living Commentary. This valuable resource is available for a gift of any amount when you contact us. Romans, Paul's Masterpiece on Grace, is also available in a CD or DVD album made from our daily television broadcast. Each of these valuable resources are available for a gift of any amount when you contact us. This entire series is also available for audio download absolutely free from our website. Go to awmi.net to see all the ways you can get this teaching. Today, you heard Andrew's personal revelation on the book of Romans. You can study through the entire Bible with Andrew when you get his continually updated Living Commentary. This extraordinary resource contains his personal study notes, footnotes, and commentary on over 25,000 Bible verses. Andrew has priced this valuable study tool at only $120. Go to awmi.net to download yours today. Also today, Andrew's offering the Grace Encounters Volumes 1 and 2 DVDs as his free gift to you when you write or call. This special offer is a $50 value, absolutely free when you contact us today. Or you can get each of these valuable resources as part of the Romans package. This package includes Andrew's Living Commentary, as well as the Romans, Paul's Masterpiece on Grace, hardback book, your choice of either the CD or DVD album, and Grace Encounters Volumes 1 and 2 DVDs. This incredible package has a catalog value of $275, but you can receive all of these valuable resources today for just $197. You can order resources or receive prayer by calling our helpline at 719-635-1111. Our helpline is open Monday through Friday, 24 hours a day, and Saturday and Sunday from 7:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. Mountain Time. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today.
You know, the Lord has given me a huge vision, and we've been blessed up to this point, but I've still got so much that God's leading me to do. I'm believing God for 10,000 new partners. We've already got over $120 million worth of buildings in just the last 9 years, but I've got at least $100 million worth, maybe $200 million worth of buildings still in my heart for our students, for an activity center. We've got a new student housing that we've got a preliminary drawing of that is showing you a little idea of what it would look like. We need this student housing, and we need people to become partners. I'm believing for 10,000 new partners. I would ask you to pray about it, and if the Lord says so, join with us and help us change people's lives through Charis Bible College. I'd like to give you a special invitation to join me on August the 4th through the 7th for Jubilee at Victory Life Church. This is my good friend and board member, Pastor Dwayne Sheriff, that pastors there. I've spoken there before. And this Jubilee is just a special time of praise and worship, casting vision for the coming year. I'm really honored to be a part of it. And Dwayne and a lot of the people on his staff will be speaking. It's going to be a special time. Remember, it's August the 4th through the 7th in Durant, Oklahoma, the Jubilee for Victory Life Church with Pastor Dwayne Sheriff. You know, I've got great news for those of you who've been wanting to partake of Charis, but you just can't move. You can't seem to find how to fit it into your schedule. We now have what we call eCharis on this little iPad, and you get all of the first year courses here. There's a total of 39 courses, 8 hours per course. And this way you can take advantage of the first year of Charis curriculum, whatever your situation is. And you can interact with our staff, you take tests, they know where you are in this process. It's just a great way to take advantage of it. Check it out, eCharis.